everybody. This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez thanking you once again for tuning in to Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. If you have been following this program, you know that we have been, we started a new series several weeks back. We've entitled that series, The Pursuit of Christ. And we said in that in the beginning that we were going to look at eight particular principles, not that that's an exhaustive list of principles, but eight very important principles that characterize a true disciple. And we've already talked about the principle of exaltation. We've talked about the principle of love. And today we're going to start looking at the principle of following Christ. Now, this particular message will actually probably be made up of three different parts, because there are three critical points that I want to discuss within this whole principle of following Christ. Obviously, each point is going to have a number of sub-points, so I think for this particular program, we're only going to be able to get through one of the major points. Do any of you remember in your childhood a game that was called Simon Says? If you remember that game, I certainly do remember it. I used to play it when I was a child with friends. If you remember, the fundamental rule of the game was that whoever played the role of Simon, he would say, "Simon says," and it was the job of all the other people listening to what Simon said to do whatever it was that Simon said. Well, you might be asking at this point, what does Simon Says have to do with following Christ? Well, if you think about it, a great deal, because the fundamental rule is quite applicable to our pursuing Christ. As Christians, and think about this, as Christians, we need to be engaged in a very serious and real activity called Jesus Says. That is, we need to be listening and following Christ. Now, the first point I want to make within this lesson of following Christ is the importance of a personal decision in our goal to follow Christ. In other words, and let me just preface this by saying this. Entrance into heaven hinges on a personal decision that we all must make while we're here on earth. The Bible clearly teaches us that it is irrelevant what others decide to do in terms of ourselves. In other words, if I grow up in a home where my parents are Christians and they live out their faith and they have decided to follow Christ, their choice to follow Christ doesn't mean that I will go to heaven. I may attend a Christian church where the preacher has decided that he will follow Christ and that he will do whatever it is Christ asks him to do as a minister of the gospel. By virtue of me being a member of that church doesn't mean that the decision the leader of that church or the preacher of that church has made gives me or grants me entrance into heaven. If I am going to enter heaven, and heaven is a real place, and we've talked in previous lessons and in previous messages, the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. Heaven is a real place, and the Bible clearly teaches us that at the end of life, at the end of our natural life, there's only two places where we can go. That's heaven or hell. We've said that Scripture clearly teaches that as far as God is concerned, there are only two types of people in the world, believers and non-believers. Well, heaven is a real place, but if I am going to go to heaven, I must make a personal decision. Whatever anybody else has decided to do is irrelevant when it comes to my entrance into heaven. It's something I must decide. Following Jesus requires a personal decision. Now consider, if you have your Bibles with you, look at John chapter 21. We're going to look at a number of verses there. I want to start by looking at verses 18 and 19. Listen to what Jesus said to Peter. He said, "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Now, if you remember the context in which these two verses find themselves, Christ had just forgiven him for the denials and now was prophesying what Peter could expect in the future. Now, I want to pause and make an application here. He's able to do that because he is God, and he is all-knowing, and he's sovereign, and he's all-wise. God knew what kind of future Peter was going to have, and he knew that because, as far as he was concerned, Peter's future was a present for him. He is able to prophesy the future of Peter because he is God and he knows that future, even though Peter didn't before this prophecy. That should be a comforting thought for us as Christians. Think about this. If Jesus was able to tell Peter what his future looked like, certainly God is able to tell us, to some degree, if it's His will, what our future may look like. The application I want to make is this. Listen, God knows our future, and therefore we can trust God because He does know with certainty what our future holds. So at this point, Jesus prophesied Peter's future. And Jesus gave him a command to follow him, which was a repeat of God's original command to Peter when he first called them to be an apostle or a disciple. Now, listen to Peter's response in verses 20 and 21. Peter turned and saw, listen to this because this is very characteristic of all of us. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper, and he said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, and this is, of course, a reference to John, when Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Now, isn't that just typical of the human nature? Jesus had just told Peter how he would be martyred for the cause of Christ, and that is how he was going to bring glory to God. Peter, of everything he could have possibly said after he heard Jesus telling him what his future held, he turns around and tells Jesus, "Well, what about John?" That is typical of us, because instead of us stopping long enough to actually listen and hear what God is saying, we are far more concerned with others rather than with what Christ has said about us and to us. That is a typical thing humans tend to do, even Christians. Now, listen to Jesus' response to Peter's inquiry. And this is in verse 22. Now, Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Listen, this is what Jesus is in essence telling Peter, and this is what Jesus is in essence telling us. What I have for somebody else, or what decision I cause somebody else to make, is just that, somebody else's life or somebody else's decision. Our focus ought to be not on what God has called others to do or what God has to say about others. Our focus ought to be on what God is telling us. And in essence, Jesus has to turn around to Peter and say, "Listen, whatever it is that I have for John is none of your business, and don't worry about it. Concern yourself with yourself and with your relationship to me. I am telling you that you ought not to concern yourself and preoccupy yourself with others. I want you to follow me." The emphasis, and listen, don't lose sight of this, the emphasis in Jesus' response is just that. Follow me. Now, as we look at this point, and I said there were 3 points I wanted to discuss, as a sub-point, and we're going to look at actually several sub-points when it comes to the whole idea of following Christ being a personal decision, we must remember that when it comes to us, God has a plan for us. But you know what happens? Oftentimes we are so busy watching other people and worrying about what they are doing and where they are going, but we fail to realize that doing this actually keeps us from following Christ. See, what Jesus had to remind Peter of was that Peter needed to remember his instructions for him. The more time we preoccupy ourselves with others, the more time we spend watching others rather than watching Christ, we've allowed that to become, in essence, a hindrance to us in our following Jesus. Listen, watching other people or being preoccupied with other people can be a dangerous thing. And rather than focusing on that which we have been asked to focus on, we focus on things we've been told we don't need to worry about focusing in. And when we do that, we end up losing all focus because we are no longer following Christ. Listen, if the focus is not on following Christ, there is no focus. We've lost focus. And that is, in essence, what Jesus is telling Peter. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And what Jesus is saying, listen, don't worry about anything else except what I am telling you, my plan is for you. He has a plan. Listen, allowing someone else to become the focus of our attention is wrong. Now, I am not saying, because Paul himself said that we ought to imitate him, so I'm not saying that watching others successfully walk with Christ is wrong. But if that person becomes the focus, then it becomes wrong. There's nothing wrong with emulating and following in the footsteps of a person who is a mature Christian and who is successfully following Jesus. But we do so in order to learn how to do that for ourselves. We don't make the person the focus. Paul never intended for us to make him the focus of our life. He just said, listen, I'm learning. And I'm being somewhat successful in this thing we call the Christian life. Look at what I've done and do it yourself so that you can in turn experience what I'm experiencing as I follow Jesus. Now listen, another very important thing when we talk about a personal decision. This is a personal decision about a person, not about a religion. Listen to the command that Jesus gives, you and me. He gave it to Peter, but it was intended for you and me as well. He says, follow me. Very important word, two letters, M-E, follow me. Not only is what he says important, but so is what he doesn't say. And listen to what he's not saying. He's saying, follow me. In other words, I want you to connect with me in a spiritual and personal way. I don't want you to connect yourself to some program or religion. Do you realize that the one thing that really separates Christianity from every other religion in the world is the simple fact that Christianity is all about a person and following that person, while every other religion in the world has to do with you and what you can do for yourself in order to enter heaven? Listen, what Christ is saying when he says, follow me, is this. The faith, salvation, experiencing me is all about following me as a person. And we can follow him because he is God. And listen, because he has already demonstrated that he's a gracious and merciful and loving God. The evidence of God's ability to handle everything has already been witnessed by us. So our focus ought to be on Him, not on any religion. And listen, we better be careful about creating a certain brand of Christianity that suits us. We need to be careful about that because, listen, we all do this to some degree at some point. We all create a brand of Christianity that we feel more comfortable with, and in essence, what we do is we create a religion that Jesus has warned us to stay away from. We lose focus of the person, and we start focusing more on a religion that we ourselves have created and we call Christianity, yet it's not biblical. Therefore, it's not true Christianity. We must never lose sight of the importance of relationship with Him. Because if we do, we are losing sight of what it means to follow Him. You know what God is telling us? Listen to what God is telling us. God is telling us to watch out for institutionalized Christianity. Because it is a sterile faith in which we do what we do because we simply know that that's what we ought to do. Let me tell you something. If your faith is dry and dull, I'll be willing to bet, if I were a betting person, which I'm not, I'd be willing to bet, though, that it is because you have lost focus of the fact that Christianity is all about following a person, and you've created some kind of religion by which you are now living, and it doesn't work. It's sterile, it's dry, and it's dull. Christianity is all about a dynamic and personal and vibrant and living relationship with the living God of the universe. Forget about legalism. That's not what Jesus is calling us to follow. He's calling us to follow Him, and if we follow Him, fruit will follow. Another sub-point I want to make is that the focus, our focus, ought to be on following Him. And let me just elaborate on that. If we spend our time focusing on following Jesus instead of listening to and watching other people, we would get a lot farther in the Christian walk, in our Christian life. We need to quit worrying about others. Let me give you an illustration here. I remember a preacher saying this on radio when I was listening to him. He said he had just started in his ministry and he had launched a television ministry. Obviously, this was a small ministry. He was just getting started. And he sent out copies or tapes of his program to a number of different radio stations. And he got a response by this particular network who told him, listen, we don't really see a future for this ministry. We don't want to air it because we don't think it's going to make it. You know who we're talking about? We're talking about David Jeremiah. If he had worried about what these people had told him, he would have given up that day and his ministry would have never evolved to what it is today. In fact, it's not even his ministry. This ministry is not my ministry. It's God's ministry. But had that preacher listened to what this broadcast, this radio station or this network had told him, he would have given up and the ministry and God touching millions of lives would have never occurred. Listen, do not worry about others, what others have to say, because God is more concerned with you listening to Him and following Him. Listen, we don't do much for God. You know why? Because we claim we don't have the time. Yet if we're honest with ourselves, we would have to confess that the time we claim not to have is the time we're actually using to worry about other people. Following Christ means that He must become that, like the sun is to our universe. He needs to be the center, and everything should revolve around Him. Another point I want to make before we leave is the fact that following Christ is non-negotiable. Listen, where do we get off thinking that we can come to God and negotiate with God what it is or how it is we want to live? I don't find a passage in Scripture that tells me that I have the right, or that I should even think to have the right, to come to God and tell Him what it is I want to do and what I don't want to do. Where do I get off telling God I want to do this, but I don't want to do that? Where do I get off telling God I'll go here, but I won't go there? As if I had the right to tell God what it means to follow Him. Let me tell you something, folks, and if you hear nothing else today, listen to this. God is the one who defines follow me. Do you understand that? We don't have the right to define follow me. He defined it. All we have to do is do it. And doing it is a matter of yielding to the Holy Spirit so that that fruit yields and we bear it. Get off the high seat where you sit, and I'm speaking to myself as well, where we actually think that we can define and decide what it is it means to follow Christ. Whatever it is that it means to follow Christ, He decided that and He defined it. Listen, we've got just a minute left in this program. Following Jesus takes a personal decision on your part. And it's a decision you have to make not just once in the past, it's a decision you have to make every single day of your life, all day long. But the more you yield to the Spirit of God, the more He gives you the ability precisely to follow Him. Well, we're going to close this session. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the words of Jesus. And we thank You even for the example left to us by Peter. May You produce in us the fruit that brings You glory and honor, for it is in His name that we pray, the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
We've reached the end of yet another program. Thank you very much once again for joining us this week, and we are cordially inviting you to join us again next week. As you know, we have been working our way through this series we've entitled The Pursuit of Christ. I would encourage all of you to make sure that you tune in every single week. These principles that we are looking at are interconnected or interrelated, and as you know, it's taking us anywhere from 2 to 3 to 4 weeks to get through one principle. So if you miss a program, you may miss some very important information or some important message pertaining to a particular principle that we're looking at within this series, The Pursuit of Christ. We're very excited about this series. We have had a great amount of feedback. People are being ministered and blessed by God through these messages. We would ask you to continue sending us correspondence or sending us email, letting us know how God is using this program in your life. Again, this is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez. I am the founder and president of Reasons for Faith International Ministries and your Bible teacher here on Truth to Live By, which is the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. I will be providing you with our contact information, so if you want, go ahead and get a pen and paper so that you can take that down. In the meantime, I just want to thank many of you who have told us that you are praying for us, and many of you who have partnered with us financially. I would encourage you to continue doing so, and for those of you who have not yet partnered with us, either through prayers or financially, I would ask you to consider praying carefully about that. This is God's ministry, and the entire operating budget of this ministry is exclusively met by God's people, listeners like you. If you want this program to continue to air on the radio station on which you're listening to us, it is important that you contact us and that you support us so that we may be able to continue to do so. I want to let you know also that if you happen to miss any message or if you want to get a copy of any message that you have heard, any resources that you are asking of us, are we need for you to send that request in writing. If you need copies of any of these messages, we provide them on CD. Obviously, we request that a suggested donation of $5 be sent in order to help us with the cost of production, shipping, and handling. Other resources are available through us. I would direct you to our website. Not only so you make yourself acquainted with the resources that are there, but also so that you may learn about this ministry. We don't normally send out a lot of mailings. We don't think it's the best use of the funds that God is providing this ministry. It's easier for us to simply direct people to our website. They can get much of the information they would have asked us for at the website. Of course, we will send any information that they request, but if it would be just more cost effective for us to send you to the website for information rather than us having to continually send mailings out. It's just we think we are better stewards of the funds provided by God for this ministry if we do it that way. We also want to let you know that I recently wrote and published a book entitled An Introduction to the Essential Doctrines of Christianity. This book was written to equip the next generation of Christians with the fundamentals of our faith. We believe in this ministry that the church is facing a very serious crisis of biblical and doctrinal and theological illiteracy. We exist in order to reverse that trend as much as possible. We are here to edify Christians, to lead those who do not know the Lord Jesus personally to a personal relationship with Him. We do this through these programs, through print literature, and through seminars and conferences. In fact, if anybody is interested in contacting us about seminars and conferences, again, I direct you to our website, or you can write us at the contact information I'm going to be providing at the end of the program. We offer seminars and conferences and do lectures on prophecy, apologetics, Bible doctrine, and theology. That is the area in which the Lord has called us to focus on, so those are the areas in which we provide seminars and conferences in. Again, please join us next week. Once again, share us with your friends and family so that they may themselves be blessed by God as they tune in to listen to this program as well. Well, as promised, here is the contact information. If you want to call us, you can call us at 704-778-3759. If you wish to send us an email, you can do so by sending it to truthtoliveby, all one word, at rffiministries.org. If you wish to request any resources or send us written correspondence, send it to Reasons for Faith International Ministries or Truth to Live By. And the post office box is 23688 Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227-0279. Our web address is www.rffiministries.org. Thank you once again for joining us, and please join us once again next week. God bless.